Não.
That's like Twilight Zone stuff there.
On me.
And it's really weird, the green reflection of your computer screen
Yes, it's
in your glasses is creepy.
looks like this.
Oh, yeah, these. So these are they have blue blockers and tint in them, so I think they kind of reflect weird. If I may make a recommendation, if you're ever looking for a cheap pair of glasses, highly, highly recommend Zenni.com.
Zenni?
Zenni Optical. They don't do anything with insurance, but like these glasses here were, I think, shipped like $56 or $70, something like that.
To your prescription?
Yep. You just put your prescription on your account. They have like a augmented reality try-on thing where you take pictures, you can rotate your head and try different
Yeah.
glasses on. They do bifocals. I think they do trifocals. And they're really good if you're looking for a beat-em-up pair or like sunglasses, something like that. You know, they really, really, really are quite affordable.
Yeah, I what's the other one that used to was
Warby Parker was big.
I did these are Warby Parker and it was a horrible experience.
Was it? Well, Zenni's been great. I mean, you kind of get what you get, but it's one of those things where you're not paying so much, so you don't mind if it. You might have to do your own little tweaks and bend them here, bend them there. So.
Yeah. And we were talking about you earlier today, Miss Katie.
What about
Oh.
all bad things?
What do you think?
Who is we? Who was discussing?
I can't reveal.
Was it Big Boss Man?
I can't reveal.
Fair enough.
It's all good. It's all good.
Sorry for what, I guess 2 weeks ago, I missed class,
Yeah,
I
what
think it was.
happened? What'd you
I had
do?
a concussion and I was
What?
working that I had a concussion that whole week. And that day I had to consolidate all my computer work and then I just napped under my desk. I was like, I can't function right now. But I'm here and I can focus.
Well, today's class is a huge focus on you, by the way.
On me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
it's
Good,
going to
how
be
are
a
you? Good.
it's going to be a condensed class. It's going to be pretty quick, pretty packing some power into a shorter amount of time,
Heck
but
yeah.
tactical magic today.
Sounds good. Me and Devin are trying to get, which I'm gonna see him this weekend's our mastermind up in Jersey. But there's a couple guys that we talk about the sales course a lot because they like evidently speak of their need for it. So Devin and I have been throwing your name around. So hopefully some people are coming from it and we'll talk about it more this weekend with them.
So you got to work backwards.
What do you mean?
Don't tell them they need to talk to me.
Ask them what they need.
Say, look, maybe it wouldn't work for you. It's probably so. In the case of some of these gym owners where there's a lot of dominant people, you say, yeah, it might be too tough for you. You might not be willing to make some changes. And if it'd be too tough, too uncomfortable. So probably not interested. So try to take it away.
Okay.
It's all backwards. Come here. Come on. On. Now you're not going to go back. Come on. On. Yes.
Oh, stay.
Come on, Satan. Come on. That's it. That's a good girl. Come on. Come on. It's all there you go. This is Nervous Nelly. Say hi to everybody over there.
It's just Katie.
Oh.
Alex got sucked out of the vortex that he's in.
Say hi.
said a dog.
Is she leading class today?
What's that?
Is the dog leading class today?
Yes. That's why it's very fast. She doesn't like to talk in front of people.
Yeah.
How was the, was it a triathlon that you did, Sarah?
It was fine.
Yeah.
I don't really like to run, at least not like that.
Yeah.
I did absolutely no training for it. So
I was going to say, were you training for that or was that just Lisa talked you into it?
I talked Lisa into it. And then, so we were supposed to do it in 2020. And then it went virtual. So we skipped because you were supposed to do it by yourself. And I was like, no way. Where am I going to swim and run in 2020? And then we deferred in 2021 because they still didn't know if there would be a swim. So then we had to do it this year. And it's just with everything that was going on with my grandfather dying and baseball, like my time was non-existent.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been doing some Peloton rides for the bike, which is the bike I didn't care about. Nearly drowned in the pool. And then the run, it was just whatever. We ran parts, we jogged parts, we walked parts.
Yeah.
Finished. We didn't die.
You finished. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Is it just the four of us?
Well, so far.
I don't know where everybody is. No, I can hear over. You are 100%.
Who else is in this group? I can't keep groups straight anymore.
You're better at it than I am. This is, I'll send a reminder real quick. Alex is here. Oh, Mike Gable, Mike Whitcraft, Ezra, who hasn't been on.
Ezra was on last time.
He got off 50.
Yep.
Rachel dropped off of this one. No Mindy. No
Sam and Ed.
Yeah. There's somebody.
Well. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Oh, slow arrivals today.
Oh, Logan.
Oh, yeah, Logan's got to be.
Sam's here. Let's take her off. Whatever happened with, like, Stuart Reiser and them, did they flame out?
Stuart, an EOS person?
I don't know him. I don't think so. We'll see what happens. I just sent a reminder.
Will Ed be on?
I think so. I know he ran to lunch, but he said he should be back. I'll call him.
How's the big building? Progress?
Yeah, we can hear it through our offices.
Yeah.
Wait, you have a new building?
Oh, man, it's a huge addition up there.
Yeah, they're building 50,000 square feet attached to the current building.
Sam, when did the other one open? Was that in 2018? I mean, that seemed huge then.
Yeah, 2019. I think June 2019 or May 2019 they did it, and that was 75,000 square feet. So now they're doing an additional 50.
It didn't take long to fill that one up, then, huh? My goodness.
Yeah, they have another company moving in on that side too. Oh, there he is.
But the sound of construction is not enjoyable.
No, it sounds like they're coming through the roof.
Yeah, there's Mike.
Yep.
Where I live at Longwood Gardens, and they're building this whole new giant conservatory. So there are days where it's not the noise, but when they were moving the earth a ton, it was the vibration of the trucks and then like drilling the rocks, and the whole house would just shake. Like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fun for 3 years.
Oh, gosh. That's a long time.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not too bad outside anymore. The inside's going to be a lot of it. And Mike, there we go.
Yeah, the whole world's on fire and Mike Gable's wearing a long sleeve
t-shirt. I know.
What is going on up there, man? There's bad juju in Illinois.
No, it's cool in it's cool where I'm sitting.
Mike, how's Pam doing? How are you and Pam doing?
We're doing good. We're trying to work it out as to what I can offload. And she's being very patient with me.
That's good.
All right. So. Good. Hey, you guys are here. Ed, I will take a picture of a bicycle on Friday. All right.
For what? Is Ed going to get a bike?
He's thinking about it. So today, today's going to be kind of quick. I'm going to give you one concept and blow me up, ask me questions, anything along the way. But I'm going to give you one concept, and it's another concept that I invented sitting on a train or on a plane ride or something after an interaction with a group of people. I don't even remember where or when, but it's I think it's a real valid, real powerful concept that if we kind of open up our minds to it, it becomes pretty obvious that it's real. So let's go back to one basic concept. What is it that we sell? What do we sell? And you all sell the same thing. What is it?
Belief.
Belief, or give me another word for belief.
Belief and trust.
Oh, I heard it.
Hope. Belief and trust.
Who said trust? Me. Mike, trust. So this whole lesson is going to be pretty quick. Katie, this is when I said we talked about you in this lesson. Katie's in a, somebody sits down in a chair. Hey, I'd like to talk about joining your gym. Katie's whole sales cycle can be 7 minutes, right? Now, it may take longer. But I think everybody's sales cycle fits into this model. I don't know what the timelines are exactly. So I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I'm invisible. I can't see what I can.
All right, I can. Oh, there's Logan.
All right, Logan.
I got him.
All right. And then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do...
Sadie, I'm not going anywhere.
I'm going to do that.
It's okay.
And then Sarah will probably have to come over or somehow fix the camera.
Yeah, you're
right. So it doesn't look like... Crooked. Yeah. Ooh, that's real.
It's your so computer's awesome. Crooked. This is... Don't mind us, guys.
Yeah, but now we got to get the whole width of the screen. All right, pretty good, but now we're too far away.
Well, I have to
all right.
Make that spotlighted.
All right.
So everyone.
So if we all work on the premise that we're selling trust, I think what we've got to do is avoid creating what I call a trust gap. Now, what do you think happens in a trust gap? If you're the seller, you're the buyer, what does trust gap refer to? Hey, Mayor.
A disconnect.
Okay, a disconnect about?
About what you're agreeing to.
Good, I like that. Anything else? Hey, Mayor. Anything else? Bueller, Ferris?
Could be a disconnect in styles, personality styles.
That can create it. That's a good answer. So just trust in general. Let's work on that. So here's my model. All right. If you take a sales process, you've got
garbage.
Yeah, here.
There's a different black one.
Yeah. You got a prospect and you've got a seller. Pretty simple. No problem. Doesn't matter. You can call it a, I don't care what you call it, but let's say both parties start at the same place, and we call that zero. Now, at the end of the first engagement, the first conversation, or maybe the first, Katie, the first 2 minutes of the conversation, whatever it is, the prospect progresses to a distance of one. It's not 1 foot, 1 mile, 1 minute. It's just movement towards an outcome, movement forward. So you just move one. If you're doing feature and benefit selling, how far do you think the seller goes in the same amount of time as it took the prospect to get to one? What do you think, Alex? How far do you think the seller goes? The prospect goes one. How far does the seller go?
I would say two.
Or I like your answer.
Yeah.
You see someone else is coming in?
I will.
That gap between one and two, how big is that gap? Who's the math wizard here?
One.
One. Logan's the math wizard. So the gap, which I call trust gap. So I've got to trust you. All of your talking, all of your feature and benefit blowing smoke at me, I got to trust you. I'm half as far as you are. I'm at one, you're at two. I think the trust gap is, I'll call it sustainable or tolerable, right? So Katie, if somebody comes into the gym and says, I'm interested in joining Engage, got it? And you just start blowing, well, let me tell you how great this is. We create results, we're very comfortable, and you just start going off on how awesome it is to go work out at your facility. What happens the longer you talk?
The bigger the gap gets.
They what?
The bigger the gap gets between us, because I'm keeping going.
The bigger the gap gets. Why does that happen?
Because you're overselling at that point.
You're overselling. Right. So if we're a gap of one at the end of the first interaction, and Sam and Ed, in your world, where people are saying, hey, look, we're kind of worried about, will this equipment effectively package our products? Will it move it? Will it be able to deal with the different types of medium or the different consistencies of things? And you just start going off and on and on and on. And Mike, if you bring a guy in from a factory to go to one of your clients and they just start pouring features and benefits about engineering and years in the business, what does the face of the prospect look like?
A glazed over look.
It's like, here we go again. This is another one of those salespeople that I just don't what?
Trust.
Trust. So an untrained and unaware salesperson, if the close didn't happen here, what do they continue to do?
Keep selling.
Same amount of time, same distance. They're now at four. Where's the prospect?
Maybe two.
I'll just go consistency. Two. What's the problem?
You've doubled your trust gap.
You've doubled your trust gap.
So is that why it seems that you always sort of refer to metering your sales by saying, I don't know that this is going to work, or maybe we're not a good fit for you, because you're essentially pumping the brakes a little bit to keep that gap smaller?
Exactly right. And Why else do we say that, Alex?
Beyond keeping the gap smaller?
Yes.
Oh, because, well, maybe this is the wrong answer, but I'm just going to take a shot at it. Because the salesman that goes in and makes his product and a service infallible and perfect, nobody likes
it. For who?
For the prospect.
No. For anyone and everyone.
Ah.
Right? So all you prospects are the same. All of you people that need fine engineering components, all of you people that are looking for the right office space, all of you people that need a new vendor for the right kind of tires for your customers, all of you people that need a filler machine, all of you people that are tired of LA Fitness, or all of you people, one size fits all. Don't ask me about the specifics. Why else do we say, I don't know if we're the right fit? Why else do we say that?
Managing expectations.
It's the truth. The truth is, I don't know. Katie, just because someone sits down and says, I need to find a better place to work out, does that mean that Engage is right for them?
Nope.
No. Just because they need something put in from a bulk dispenser into individual 6-ounce cups, does that mean that AMS is right for them, Sam? Just because they don't like buying tires from
ATD. Some,
what?
ATD.
ATD, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're right for them. It doesn't mean that your product, your design, your delivery capability, your pricing, your financing commitments, your credit commitments, your ability to give them discounts later on. Nope. I don't know if we're the right fit. We're the right distributor, the right gym, the right manufacturer, the right component manufacturer, the right real estate provider, the right EOS business consultant. So what happens if you go another step, 6 and 3, it just keeps growing. The longer this process goes on, the less and less and less trust we create with the people we're trying to do business with. And if they trust you less, what's the first best thing they can do to manage that risk?
Turn you down, say no.
Or, well, I want a discount. Because they got to buy insurance for when all of your, we're the best, we're the greatest, we're the smartest, we're the most competent, capable, most connected. When that all turns out to be a lie, they got to pay to make up for the mistake they made. So they buy insurance with the money they take out of your side of the deal. So it's not just the function of pumping the brakes. It's telling the truth.
Charlie.
Yes.
At the same time, so say you went from 1 to 2 and your customer's still at 1.
Right.
You know, and you identify, like today I talked to a guy, he is very happy with his suppliers, has a great relationship with them, really has no reason to buy from me. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a place where you're going to need a tire that they don't have. We're nearby. I can't promise we're the best fit for you. I did say that. And I said, I can't promise we're going to beat them in price on everything. But I think we're worth giving a look. And I'm not here to shake up any loyalties with who you're dealing with, but one day you might need us and we're right around the corner. Just kind of like, but then he says, what about Saturday delivery? Now, is that the opportunity to then pull him to 2 and try to get him to the same place as you?
So what's the other message that's inside Alex's question? I'm going to come back to a direct answer there, but what's the other message that's inside Alex's story right there?
Alex, stop selling.
Say that again.
Alex, stop selling.
That's one. What's the other one?
He got the customer to ask to get together at another time.
Whose reasons are pushing the opportunity forward?
The customer was the one that initiated with Saturday, right? Well, what about?
Yes. So, no, there's no reason for us to do business. What's the number one rule that you should always remember about prospects? They don't tell the truth. They don't. Why not?
Because they want to protect their interests.
Because they know they're going to get caught in this thing where if I say, oh yeah, I really need tires, man, this is just going to get so blown up. And so Alex is going to go to the close in a heartbeat. He's going to pour all this crap on me. I'm just going to get buried. So I don't trust salespeople. I'm not going to tell the salespeople the truth because they'll use the truth against me. If you maintain trust, where do you think you need to be if your customer is at one? Where do you think, Sam?
I'd try and be on the same level as them.
How close?
I would probably be slightly ahead just because we have a little bit more information, but not try and stay roughly there.
Yes. I think you can close business if you're about 1.2. Maybe 1.4, maybe 1.5. But what are the mechanisms to stay in a less than one trust gap?
I would use the term maybe underselling.
Okay. First of all, tell the truth. I don't know if this is right. And I'm okay if what?
You say no.
You tell me we're not a good fit.
Because you're leaving the door open for them.
I didn't come here to force you to buy anything from me. It's okay if you tell me no. What's the second thing you can do to keep people that close in trust?
Ask questions and let them talk.
Ask questions. Why did you want to talk to me? You've got a lot on your plate. Why did you decide that it was worth it to make some time to talk to me? Why are we here? So you talk about their challenges, not your products or services. What else do you need to do? Nurture. Oh, that makes sense. Tell me more. Oh, interesting. Huh. And nurture people. Don't argue with prospects. Never argue with a prospect. If they say, I think you should dress up like a monkey and bark, that makes sense. Never argue with them because for some reason they believe that. So you've got to ask questions. You've got to give them the opportunity to say no. You've got to listen to their issues and concerns. You've got to nurture them by paying attention and being present. And you've got to let them have their reasons, not yours. People buy for their reasons, not yours. And so in other words, Mike Gable said it earlier. What was it, Mike?
I don't know. Belief and
trust. Two words.
Belief and trust.
Stop selling. Let's just have a business conversation about what you're trying to do, why you're looking for another office, why you think you need someone to help guide your business, why you're, so you've always, you just make them the center of the conversation. I know there's people out there. Hey, Mayor.
Oh, you can change your view.
I can?
Yeah.
Oh, it's always, oh, never mind. I got it here.
I don't think it'll change
everybody's. Yeah, it does put me there. There we go. So this is where I just want you to leave this meeting and understand this trust gap thing. When does it start?
As soon as you walk in the door, I would think.
It starts at hello. It starts at the first marketing email that you send out to them. This thing is going the moment they make contact with you, whether you went first or they did. And if they don't think they can trust you, and your answer is, well, just tell them more, give them another demo, send them more samples, send a price list, do a 90-minute meeting for free. Now, I could modify that a little bit in Mayer's situation, but and be willing to walk away. The last thing I want to do is be part of you making a decision that you're not completely committed to. When does a prospect truly become your customer? What do they believe about you?
That you're trustworthy.
It's deeper. What's the rest of it? What do they trust about you?
Your word, the belief that you're selling.
Can they continue a conversation and work towards an order?
No.
You as a person?
That what?
You as a person?
What are they?
You as in a company?
You as a person, Sam.
That I have their best interests in mind.
Even if.
It means losing the order.
Even if it's not best for me. People become your customer. They become your partner when they believe you will always do what's best for them, even if it's not best for you, including saying, I'm not the right person. As much as I'd like to do this project with you, I'm not the right person. As much as I believe EOS is a powerful way to address what you're talking about, I just don't think you're ready to make that commitment yet. I've got to let you go. When they believe you will always put their best outcome ahead of your own, they will tell you anything. And that puts you right here at 1 to 1.2. Sam was right. They need to have a belief that you have just enough knowledge more than they do that you won't hurt them. And if you stay focused on questions and nurturing and I don't know, I see an opportunity, but I'm not sure it's as good as we both hope it would be. That will get you where you want to go. The weirdest thing just happened to me literally 2 minutes before Katie came on and Alex came on. I did a coaching call with someone and she's a very direct, straightforward person. And that directness and that straightforward attitude is on one hand, it's an absolute gift in the way she tries to work with people. She's fearless. She wants to put it out there. She's 100% committed to her customers. But what's the downside of being that committed and being that certain of your value?
She can come across as arrogant, maybe?
You can come across as pushy and arrogant and not listening. And so she was asking me about writing an email to re-engage with someone that said, I do need to talk to you but I need you to wait until July, the middle of July. So I went through this whole, I basically wrote the letter for her out of the top of my head. And everything I suggested, she would say, well, why would you say that? And why would you say that? And I don't know. Boy, that sounds like it's too, sounds like I'm desperate or this and that. And I'm like, well, this is, I want people to trust you. And so we did this whole thing. And I finally got her to a point where she was like, all right, I'm pretty comfortable with this now. I'm going to send it. And she said, I really appreciate you taking the time to work through this with me. And I said, I really appreciate the opportunity to help you and that you asked me for help. She gave me the least expected response I could come up with. Somebody take a guess at what she said to me when I told her, thank you very much. Hey, Dan, how are you? Dan, this trust gap thing is huge in your business.
That's why I'm here.
All right. What do you think this person said to me after I told her, thank you very much for letting me share my wit and wisdom or whatever it was? What do you think blew me away?
She didn't thank you, did she?
She was expecting your help.
What?
She was expecting your help.
No. She said, now, why'd you say that? Because that sounds like such pure bullshit. Alex, you're reacting. What?
Why would you even say that?
Well, I said, that's interesting. Why did you say it? She said, because it just sounds like it's just bullshit. I said, I got to tell you, here's why I really appreciate the opportunity. And I told her, I just got an email from a client yesterday who said, I just closed a $7.5 million deal. I couldn't have done it without you and Growth Dynamics and the coaching and the way you asked me to look at this. And I verified that this was a real actual client, not a tire kicker. Saved me tons of time. Great help. Thanks for the coaching. And I said, that's really why I do it. I love it when you win. And so when I tell you thank you for the opportunity to do what I do with for you, I want to hear that you got it done and that you get a result like that. But her immediate reaction was, oh, that just sounds like bullshit. Why would you say that to me?
That's offensive. Like, that's just, I would just said, you know what? Delete it all. Good luck.
No, you don't argue. You're like, hey, I'm just trying to help. If that's why I do it. That's why I offer the coaching. I know the coaching makes a difference. I want you to know you're welcome to come back for all the coaching you can ask for.
Because it will make your,
what's that?
I think you described her perfectly. She's very direct. So she was very direct in her comment.
Yeah. And she was just like, every time I said kind of work backwards, well, that sounds desperate to me. I said, this isn't a problem between you and that letter. This is a problem between you and your ego. Your ego can't stand to not be the most driven and demanding and dominant person in every interaction, and it's not going to help you. If they don't trust you, you better have something so magic that they will love you kicking the crap out of them to get it. And I know what you all do. Dan works in a business, insurance adjusters, not necessarily seen as the most warm and loving and trusting group of people out there. So Dan's got to work this all the time. And if you start selling as an insurance adjuster, like, here we go again. There's another one trying to rope me into a contract that I don't want to sign. And Charlie, let real estate people, yeah, this is the perfect property for you. Wait, Charlie, wait, not.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
There's a group of customers that I've reached out to, and they already have, you know, they're already working with another supplier.
Yep.
So I'm trying to break in with a number of different places. And as an outsider, I mean, it's really difficult to just kind of get the door to crack open. And what do you have any suggestions to try and gain their trust to start a conversation?
First thing you say is you may never, ever need me. And I'm okay if you tell me that.
Okay.
And then there's a tactic called you go to the weakness of their strength. Okay. You go to the weakness of their strength. So AMS filling. I every time you're all on here, I say, you got to see what these guys make. It's amazing stuff. I'm not an engineer, but when I see the metal twisted and turned and moving and measuring, and it's incredible. It's great technology. What's the strength of AMS, Ed?
I would say the strength is, I guess, the track record with previous clients.
Let me put words in your mouth if I can. They only focus on the filling solution.
Okay.
They don't try to make every piece of equipment in the packaging line. They are, when you want to know what kind of filling equipment you need, they are the masters of filling. What's the weakness of that strength?
A whole another production line that needs equipment.
You got to talk to three different other vendors to get your thing done. Now, you want it done right on the filling side, there's where you go, hands down, they knock it out. But the weakness is they don't cover the whole thing. What's the strength of Home Depot?
One-stop shop.
One-stop shop. What's the weakness of it?
Can't be a master for everything.
They're not a master of everything. They got so much stuff, nobody knows where the hell it is, right? You got to basically take an expedition dog there to get through your shopping journey, right? Katie's Gym. Katie, what's the strength of Engage?
The success of the clients.
Say, they're blowing leaves and mulch around outside. What was that?
The success of the clients.
It's 100% personalized fitness training. What's the weakness of that?
It doesn't accommodate everybody.
It does not accommodate everybody. We're not here as a convenience. If you want to come at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning to do whatever you want, we're not your client. So there's a weakness to this backside strength of everything. So Michael, you got to figure out who some of their suppliers are. There's a weakness to some of their strengths. And there's, Alex gave us one. The supplier that he talked about earlier obviously doesn't make Saturday deliveries. We have everything. The weakness is you can't get it when you want it in an emergency. You've got to find the weakness in everybody's strength. That help?
It's got me thinking. It's it's tough to think of the weaknesses that they have. I mean,
it's tough to think about. We have a tendency to compare ourselves to everybody. Just think of them and what their offer is. They have all this. What's the weakness? And every business has it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Trust gap. Pay attention to it. If you look in their eyes and they're like somewhere else, or they're kind of daydreaming, or they're checking their watch or making a note or looking at their email on the side, you've broken trust. It's not worth paying attention to yet. They're not convinced your time and your messages is focused on them. It's very interesting. Meyer closed the door on us. There he's back. He's hiding. Oh, his coffee cup. What was that about? So And Mayer's basically in the same business I am. He's in overall business performance structure. Katie Mayer's an EOS facilitator. So he's does the same work that Devin's doing with his business. How many BS artists are there in our consulting world, Mayer?
A lot.
Thousands. Every junior level executive that got laid off is now a business expert that you should pay $1,000 an hour to. Look, that's it. I watched people at Ernst & Young and Arthur Andersen mess this up in 30 seconds or less. Everybody's got good products out there, but not everybody has trust. Focus on the trust and they'll buy your products. All right. Alex, what'd you get today? Thanks for starting us off with your stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you. Don't go in too fast. Don't go in too hard and heavy because you're going to break that trust wall right away and the gap will grow too large. So my question real quick that I want to ask you is if you're intuitive enough to know that you might be increasing the gap beyond that point too, is there a way to bring it back?
Yes. Just say, I apologize. I think I'm a couple pages ahead of you. I'm sorry for making you uncomfortable. Can we come back and reset? So just take the blame and ask if you can back up a couple steps to make sure you're on the same page. Really good question. Really good question. Nice job.
At what point would you do that? I mean, where would you be to get to that point?
You don't know till you're there, Michael.
I can speak to that where I've been in front of customers that they don't have an account, no business coming from them. You sort of catch yourself borderline rambling. And like you said, you can see that glossiness sort of start to form. And then you have to say, well, I'm sorry, let's rewind. And I have said that. It's funny because then you sort of re-engage their interest because you've broken the facade of being a perfect salesman.
Very good.
Okay. I like the explanation.
And Mike, when you find that all the punctuation is periods and exclamation points, you're probably blowing up the trust gap. All right. Another great question. Way to go, Sam.
People are buying for their reasons, not yours.
All the time. They know why they want that equipment. You can tell them what they need, but why they're going to believe you is up to them. Nice. Good comment. Ed?
I guess it's almost by you being truthful, you'll bring out their truthfulness.
Yeah. I mean, just say, look, what do they expect every salesperson to walk in and say?
Yes, absolutely. You know, everything's a slam dunk.
Yeah, no problem. We got it. Hey, I don't know if we're right because I don't know if we're right. Good. Dan R.
I missed part of it, but I think it's jumping from step 2 to 4. You know, if you're trying to try and push them to sell, sign here, sign here, sign here, and they're still back at 2, you're trying to go to 4, you're going to kill the deal real fast.
The slower you go, the faster they'll get there. Good. Logan.
That people believe you when you act in their best interest, even if it's not in your best interest.
They don't know how to deal with it except to give in a little bit. It's remarkable how powerful it is. I'm okay if you tell me no. No, seriously, you can't mean that. No. I don't want to be part of a bad decision. Let's not make one together that we shouldn't make. You were talking about that one deal. Oh, no, Nikki's got a deal that's kind of crazy going on right now. We were talking about it at the end of last week and this week. And she's like, they're going to sign a bad deal. And I got to tell them. And it could create a big ripple. But she's going to get paid, but she's like, I got to tell them it might, they could be making a serious investment blunder. So yeah. don't be afraid. Good. Mike?
I think the biggest thing is being aware of the trust gap, that, you know, during the whole sales process and watching your customer's reaction when you're talking.
Yeah. So when you can change the focus from inward to outward, when you can trust to be that aware that you can pay attention to them. And I said it to a group earlier this week, and it's hard with Zoom and everything. So, but when you can get face to face with people and watch their breathing, it's remarkable what you can see in the rest of their body and hear in the rest of their language.
You can hear it even on a telephone call, without a doubt.
Yeah, good. Mayor, what'd you get today?
Being able to say when it's not for them, right in the beginning, coming across that you're okay if the answer is no, just having a regular business conversation. Builds a lot of, in the beginning, right in the beginning, a lot of trust.
And even the people that are in your target market, you've got to be willing to say, look, I don't know if, we got to have a conversation before I can say you should do this. Good. Katie, short, compressed, you're right there in 3 minutes. What'd you get today?
All of it, but kind of not trust gap related. I like that going to the weakness of their strength part of it, just because of how different our business is compared to other gyms.
Yeah. Oh, you can go whenever you want. You're not going to get any coaching, but you can go there. It's understanding that part of it. Good. So look, man, I told you we were going to knock it out. We're in 40 minutes. Way to go. Good focus, good attention. Coaching works. That's why we're here. Go make money. Have a great rest of the week. Stay cool. It's going to get nasty out here. Dan R., I'm driving to Manhattan this afternoon. I'm not looking forward to it. So
I appreciate the skiing shirt. It makes me think of cooler weather.
Yeah.
Charlie, you need to have a black.
All right.
You need to have a black long sleeve shirt on.
Yeah, that'll help. Yeah, all right, everybody, be good. Take care. Thanks for your time today. See you,
everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.